name of the resurrected Christ who leads us forth in joy. Amen. One of my favorite parts about Easter and this time of year in the Midwest is the coordination of Christ springing forth from the tomb and the emerging blooms of the Easter season. One year I brought a plant out of that I brought from my garbage bin and set it right here, and it was a pothos plant that had died in a pot, and I was getting ready to throw it away, and all of a sudden the new bloom emerged. For years now, I've had great joy in the timing of spring's bloom. And as an adult, I've noticed that I have a greater capacity to notice with each passing year. On the front cover of the New Yorker this week was, I thought, a perfect icon for this noticing. So normally, I would notice spring, notice Easter finery when the sun was bright and shining and all of the blooms were in bloom, but this is more my noticing of Easter this year. This is a woman sitting atop three chairs in her darkened house with the first gleam of sunlight basking on her face. If you want to look at that up close, this is my icon for Easter. I was telling a friend this past week, the blossom I noticed this year in a new way was the beauty of the bluish purple lilacs against the gray sky. And this friend, whom I both dearly love and trust for spiritual guidance, replied, "Noticing is a spiritual practice. Enjoy." Noticing is a spiritual practice. On the day Jesus emerged from the tomb, they could not help but notice. The women arrived at the tomb and the ground began to shake. An earthquake shook the whole land. And not only that, this terrifying angel who looked like lightning came and rolled away the stone. The guards not only noticed, but they were so filled with terror that they shook and they passed out like dead men. It was a moment that has reverberated for thousands of years now, a cosmic event that transcends time and space. And we heard these words from the angel, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." Now, what I immediately take from those words from the angel is that resurrection is not all flowers and sunshine and joy. Resurrection is earth-shattering, it's life-altering, and it can be terrifying. And then what I take next is what the angel says to the women at the tomb. "Come, see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples, come, go, see, go, tell." Now, my husband told me a story I had never heard from his perspective just this week. It was in 2010 that he and I were in a group of young people and we traveled to the Holy Land. And there we went, as many pilgrims do, to the place where they say Jesus was raised along the course of the trip. There's a church in Jerusalem that dates back to the 4th century, and it's known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Now, it contains two sites that are related to the Christian faith, the site where Jesus was crucified on Calvary and Christ's empty tomb. This is a place where millions of Christians have made pilgrimage to encounter the God of their faith. And this is what I remember. A lot of ornate architecture and design and hundreds of fellow pilgrims seemingly having hundreds of different experiences, and the line to get to the tomb was like a Disneyland queue. And we lined up and we stood and we waited, and the place that I imagined would be like a cave with a stone was covered in gold. And there were icons and relics. And we finally shuffled into this small place that was known as the place where Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And we stood there. My husband recalls wanting to evoke a sense of the holy in that place. My experience was I didn't feel very much. And then a monk came and said, "Hurry along, hurry along. Next one in the line." I did take in all of the people. I thought about all of the disagreements between the church bodies, the power plays we heard about that have happened at this site over centuries. And I did not notice much different within me, no seeming stirrings of resurrection power. And now I have zero recollection of this part. I didn't hear about it until this year, 2023. But Robert told me the story this way. We'd moved through the building, we'd seen Golgotha's rock, we meandered around the chapel with the church where Jesus was supposedly raised, then we emerged to head to our tour bus. And Robert says that I made this small declaration at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I turned to him and simply said, "Well, he's not here." Little did I know that I was quoting the angel at that very tomb. "He is not here." And that as I said it, Robert tells me he experienced his own Easter, and a thousand Easters past flashed before him. There we had gone, looking for him, like the women at the tomb, and like the women heard the angel at the tomb, Robert heard from my unwitting lips, "He is not here." And Robert, I didn't know this until this week, opened to the Gospel of Matthew to remember what comes next. "He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay, then go. Quickly and tell his disciples, come, see, go, tell. He has been raised from the dead. Indeed, he is going ahead of you, and there you will see him." This is the thing about this life of faith. We go looking for Jesus, and so often in the places where we expect we will find him, he is not there. The angel reminds us he is not here. In the consolation we seek after the aftermath of a disaster, in the loss of a loved one, in the desolation of a dark night, in the holy places, the bright flowers, the joyful alleluias, Christ is not there in the way we so often desire. But if we take time to notice, we too, in whatever circumstance, hear the same words Christ himself spoke. "Do not be afraid. Go. Tell others to go. There they will see." It took me 14 years after a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, 14 years of going and doing and trying my hardest not to be afraid, to recognize God and the risen Christ in the story of my experience at the place where I was sure he wasn't there, told to me by somebody else who noticed. It took me 14 years to notice. It took my husband going and telling me all these years later, showing up anyway is a spiritual practice. Noticing is a spiritual practice. And sometimes it takes years, decades for us to see. The resurrection miracle is that Christ draws us beyond ourselves and our expectations into the hope and power of resurrection. The good news is that Jesus calls us to keep going and to keep telling the good news when we have it to share so that others might find it and see the risen Christ. Now, I want to challenge us. I was telling the children this morning that there's not just Easter Day. We just went through 40 days of Lent. And thankfully, there's not just one day of Easter. In our tradition, we practice 50 great days of Easter before we get to the Feast of Pentecost. We often have Lenten practices. You may have had one yourself that you're very excited to leave from this place because it has come to an end. You can go eat that chocolate or whatever it is. Well, I want to issue you a spiritual practice for Eastertide. To become people who notice. Where do you see life? Where do you see love? Where do you see Jesus? Ask God to help you notice. And if you need to stack some chairs up in your living room to get to it, stack some chairs up in your living room to get to it. Ask God to help you notice. Life. Love. Jesus. My siblings in Christ, noticing is our Easter practice. And when we are gripped with fear or blind with the arrogance of our certainties, Christ keeps on being made known anyway, in ways we could never expect, in ways that might take years for us to finally wake up to. So do not be afraid. Christ is risen. He is here, and he is not here, all at the same time. He is on ahead of you, and there you will see him. Amen.